This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Deborah Rudell's gripping memoir, Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul, is engaging and informative, with moments of great excitement, but also disturbing and weighted with angst. Deborah reflects on the time she spent as a member of a commune. In 1988, now married, she left the cult and moved to Hawaii, where an old sailing vessel, the Elixir, awaited them. Their goal was to rebuild the boat over a six-month period. The project took 5 years. As she works on the boat, she ruminates on the commune, sharing an uncensored, visceral portrait of life within the cult, the good, the bad, the very ugly. Deborah Rudell is our guest on the next This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Attention all timeshare owners. Do you want to know what your timeshare is really worth? Timeshares do have value. Don't throw away thousands of dollars with nothing in return, with only a promise to cancel your timeshare without a guarantee. And here's the best part. Should you decide to unlock the true value of your timeshare and get started, the burden of your maintenance fees completely will stop. We are so confident in our services that we will pay your maintenance fees while you sell for what your timeshare is truly worth. Don't delay this offer. It's only good for a limited time. And maintenance fee bills are right around the corner. Call our special toll-free hotline right now, and our team will tell you exactly what your timeshare is worth. Here's our toll-free number.
800-807-3913. 800-807-3913. That's 800-807-3913.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul by Deborah Rudell, is one woman's account of conquering overwhelming challenges with tenacity and ingenuity, and ultimately discovering her inner strength. Deborah's world unravels when the leaders of her spiritual commune are exposed, arrested, and imprisoned for bioterrorism and attempted murder. Crushed and adrift, she moves her family off the commune to create a sense of normalcy. But when her husband seeks an opportunity to dismantle and rebuild a derelict 50-foot schooner, Deborah uproots the children once again, joins him in Hawaii. For the next 5 years, she dedicates her life to restoring a boat. While there, she grapples with her emotional turmoil and contemplates a new life path. Deborah sets out to accomplish something she never thought possible, sailing across the Pacific to the Olympic Peninsula. A college professor in San Diego, Deborah participates in her city's vibrant writing community, a graduate of Hay House Writers Workshop, and the Certificate of Memoir Writing Program at San Diego Writers, Inc. Her work has been published in the International Memoir Writers Association's anthology, Shaking the Tree. I didn't see that one coming. Deborah lives with her black cat in a tiny house built, by the way, in 1906 by a retired sea captain who carved a sailing ship into the front door. This is her first book, Deborah Rudell, author of Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul, our guest on This Week in America. Deborah, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. That was a lovely introduction.
Well, I wanted to set sort of the stage for everything that you've done. And about 4 or 5 hours, we could cover everything that you've done and been through. It's such a remarkable life. Sharing it now in the book, Grit and Grace, receiving excellent reviews. Let's start with the decision to write the book. Why did you decide to write Grit and Grace, which is highly personal?
Yeah, I had thought originally it would be articles for Wooden Boat magazine, you know, technical articles.
Yes.
About sanding and painting and fixing. And so I didn't really think about the story behind it until I was in a writing group and I was writing my technical stuff and they would look at me glazed over and say, but what were you thinking? Where were you? What were you feeling about all this? So eventually they pulled the story out of me. And then I started writing this book.
What was it like writing the book and going back and recounting all of these experiences that you and your family went through, the ups and the downs? You mentioned the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is all there. What was it like going back and reliving to write the book?
It was a very interesting journey and one that I had not expected. I thought I pretty much knew what my life was about. But when you go in and you actually start writing and exploring the little nooks and crannies, you realize that your life has been pretty rich and there's been a lot of things there. And rewriting this book has helped me have a much, much bigger appreciation for the adventures and experiences I've been privileged to have. And also to see the depth of understanding, wisdom, growth that I was able to experience having this life and these adventures.
You know, it's interesting you mention that as I'm reading through this. This is written with perspective of what, several decades at least, so you've got time to grow and mature and to think back and to sort this out. Is this a book that you could have written 20 years ago, or did it take real life experiences and the perspective of maturity to be able to write this?
No, it absolutely needed to be written now. I when you're in the middle of being in a community with a living master, you're just doing all the stuff every day and just busy, busy, busy. And it wasn't until we went to Kauai and I was actually sanding and varnishing, and that repetitive motions and the repetitive tasks that helped me sort of go inside. It gave my mind time to start exploring what went on there. What were you doing? What did you discover? What was that about? Very, very rich and rewarding time. And one that I had no, you know, you don't know that's going to happen to you when you're sanding and varnishing, but that's what happened to me. I started looking back and putting things in perspective, integrating my life experiences.
You know, it's interesting you talk about years of what you call mindless labor, working on the boat. You could sense changes in yourself. Talk about that, because that really was an extended period of introspection, wasn't it?
It was. It was, you know, 3 or 4 years, hours and hours. You know, a 65-foot mast might take you 5 days just to sand it.
Wow.
And then you've got to put 4 or 5 coats of varnish on there and you got to wait a day. And, you know, it takes, and caulking, you know, it takes, there's 40 seams on a boat, 20 seams on each side. And I could only do 2 a day. That's how long it took to go down 40 feet, you know,
yes,
with the caulking iron. You do have a lot of space. You know, the physical part is one thing. It's like the Karate Kid, wax on, wax off.
Yes, yes.
It's a meditation that just automatically happens. Yeah.
Deborah's
and I'm glad I had that time.
Well, it was you and your mind and a chance to go through that and the memories and sort all of that out. Deborah's book is Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul. The book is available wherever books are sold. Deborah's website is Deborah Rudell. RUDELL.com. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Books, of course, available at Amazon and all of the usual places. Let's talk about the spiritual life, the community that you were in. How did you get there? What was the impetus to take the family and to join the commune?
Yes, good question. I actually had a little bit unusual childhood. I had a grandmother that influenced me very early on that I was more than just this body and this life that you could see, that there was actually a spirit inside and a soul journey. And she exposed me to books like and people like Edgar Cayce and reincarnation. And those sort of karma, those kind of things were ideas that weren't normally talked about. She was a yoga teacher in the 60s, so that was a little bit unusual. So from an early age, I knew that I wanted to keep doing everything I could to grow inside, to learn who I was really, not just this physical body, to be in touch with that energetic, my soul and my heart. And so everything I did in my life was to make that space bigger, to have more of an opportunity to explore that. So by the time I was 20, I had heard about spiritual teachers, and I'd explored different things like rebirthing with Leonard Orr, different yoga retreats with different yoga teachers. And then I ended up hearing about Rajneesh. And I personally didn't really want to go and be with Rajneesh. My husband did. I thought he was too radical for me. But as you read my book, you realize that I had an experience where I realized Rajneesh was my teacher. And so as you have that desire inside, then you make choices in your life that are going to put you in situations to grow in that way. And I think that's sort of why my life kind of went the way it did. And when it was time to go to the ranch, it was the ultimate opportunity. I could live with a whole bunch of people. Like at the peak of Rajneeshpuram, there were 10,000 people there.
Amazing.
And it was like a real city. We had an airport. We had a public transportation system. We had all of the infrastructure of roads, electricity. We had a power station that created the electricity for the whole place. So it was quite a remarkable opportunity to go and live with like-minded people that were looking at a sustainable lifestyle and also aware, everyone being aware of an inner life that we wanted to nurture and support in ourselves and each other.
You know, it's interesting as I'm reading this, a little bit about the childhood. You grew up 60s, 70s, a neighborhood with a lot of children. You talked about the independence and the autonomy. When we think of communities, when we think of communes, we think of giving up independence and autonomy. Is that something, is that a myth, or does that actually happen? And did you struggle with that?
That's an interesting question to answer, too. In a community, this community was set up like a kibbutz. So the men lived somewhere, the women lived somewhere, the kids lived somewhere. And we all had all three meals every day in the same place. So we just did our job every day. We didn't have to do things like shopping or driving or buying clothes or, you know, all of those things in our normal world that we have grown up in and we're conditioned to, those things were different. So all you did, you went to do your job, but everything else was taken care of for you. Your clothes were all washed every day, and at the end of your bed when you got home, the home was beautifully cleaned and vacuumed and fresh flowers out. Like, it was amazing. You were just cared for in every way, and your job was just to do your job. And it was, when you're doing that, in one way, people can say, oh, you don't have any autonomy. But in another way, you're freed up to explore other parts of yourself. So that's why it's an interesting question. In one way, yeah, you're not going off to the movies on Thursday night just because you feel like it.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the other way, you're freed up from all the things of having to deal with money, for example, and bank accounts, and is the rent going to be made, and you know, if you need a doctor, there's no, you don't have to go look for one and figure out your insurance plan. You just go to the medical center and you're cared for. Like, so there was a lot of freedom in that.
Like so many things.
But as far as,
yeah, it's not black and white, is it? There's a lot of gray area there, and I fully understand now, and I appreciate you answering that, because you think of that you give up everything when you go into the community. Let's talk about what happens when the world came crashing down, when there are arrests, there are accusations, there are charges. You talk about you gave everything to be part of a community, and it's over. What initially was that like for you, trying to understand your world at the time as you knew it had just been shattered?
It had been shattered, and I had given up everything for it, like you said. So it was very, I think the right word really is shattering. And then also that framework that I'd grown up with and lived my life for that spiritual framework, was also completely dismantled. So I became very disillusioned about spirituality, about God, about anything other than what I could see and touch and taste. The five senses, that was it. I really had been so thinking that it was the truth and then realizing that it wasn't. And that was a very painful, difficult time that I couldn't really deal with until I was sanding and varnishing. And then I had more space to start to think about it, because it was a painful place to go into.
In between that, when you left the community and before you started work on the boat, you go back to the small town, you're back to the dentistry practice, your husband is back there as well, family's back, trying to settle in. He decides he has to try something else, and that, of course, is the boat, which made no sense, I don't think, to you at the time. But what was that like, that transition, going home and the fact that he wasn't satisfied there, he wanted to do something else? What were your thoughts during that period?
That was tough for me, because I was so happy to be back in the little town and running a dental office and having my kids with me and shopping and cooking and doing all the things that I hadn't done for 5 years or so, you know, like it was really great. I liked it. But as you mentioned, my husband was not happy at all. So he found this boat and I rebelled. I was like, no, we're not doing that. That's impractical. We've just now got ourselves together and back into a life. Why are you going to mix it up again? I was pretty unhappy with that whole idea. And I struggled with it for probably almost 10 months, I think. We went back and forth. And then I realized that my life would be hell if he was unhappy. So I said, I caved. I said, great. I capitulated. Go ahead. Let's go. 6 months, that's no big deal. I can handle 6 months. So we went. We did that because I wanted him to be happy so that, you know, as a family, we'd be happier.
Yes.
But then, of course, as you read, it was not a six-month project. It ended up taking 4 or 5 years, you know, to actually finish.
More with our guest, Deborah Rudell, author of the emotionally layered and heartfelt memoir Grit and Grace, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Attention all timeshare owners. Do you want to know what your timeshare is really worth? Timeshares do have value. Don't throw away thousands of dollars with nothing in return, with only a promise to cancel your timeshare without a guarantee. And here's the best part. Should you decide to unlock the true value of your timeshare and get started, the burden of your maintenance fees completely will stop. We are so confident in our services that we will pay your maintenance fees while you sell for what your timeshare is truly worth. Don't delay this offer. It's only good for a limited time. And maintenance fee bills are right around the corner. Call our special toll-free hotline right now, and our team will tell you exactly what your timeshare is worth. Here's our toll-free number.
800-807-3913. 800-807-3913. That's 800-807-3913.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
And now more with Deborah Rudell, author of Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul. So you're off in Hawaii. You mentioned this before. This was sort of a time of what you called spiritual digestion. Yeah, it's you and your thinking. And what was that like? Did you have any idea this would open up this whole new avenue of sorting out everything?
No idea at all. And that's kind of the magic of when you have big life changes. So they look a certain way. Like I was kind of dragging my heels and thinking, oh my gosh, well, it'll be nice to live in Kauai. That's a tropical island. I'll enjoy my swims. Yes. But I had no idea of the depth of the gift that it would give back to me. And remember, I don't know if you know about Hawaii, but the islands all have different vibrations. Kauai has been traditionally, like in historically, people never lived on Kauai. That was the island you went to heal, to do your spiritual work. The kahunas went there to do their special rituals. And when I think back on it, yeah, it was the perfect island to be on, to have this other part of my world, you know, the energetic world, my emotional world, my spiritual world, start to come into more understanding, more clarity.
What was it like when you have this boat, which I understand was what once owned by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young? This was a boat of theirs at one point?
Yeah, it was one of their party boats. And the picture of it was on the cover of their Southern Cross album.
That's amazing.
And then, of course, they sold it and it got in a hurricane and it was a wreck on the dry and we got it afterwards. So we didn't have anything to do with the famous people, but the boat had been, you know, a party boat.
But it's a great part of the story there. And by the way, do you know who happened to own this boat a couple of hurricanes before we took it over? The book is Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul by Deborah Rudell, R-U-D-E-L-L, the author and our guest on the program. Her website is deborahrudell.com. Book available at amazon.com, all the usual places. Acorn Publishing, LLC.com is the publisher. Information there as well. And, of course, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You got into this project thinking, a few months, this is fine. I can probably handle this. Years later, you're working on the boat. What was the hardest part for you, the hardest part of rebuilding the boat, the most tedious part of it?
the most tedious part. I would have to say that for me, I was just kind of doing jobs that I could do. For my husband, the most tedious part was probably figuring out the rigging because it was all in pieces when we got it. For me personally, the hardest part was that my husband was completely engrossed in this project, like monomaniacal, or if there's such a word. And it was really hard to not have, you know, like time with my husband and have kind of connection time because he was just immersed in this project. And as time went by, I had several times I packed my bags, I was fed up with the thing, but I would eventually come back and I found my enjoyment of being in the project as well because it was such a rewarding thing to see something so broken down and so messed up become something so beautiful that it actually won awards later on, like big awards, like best restorative boat, best restoration, best wooden boat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. It what was the cover of a magazine, so it the Elixir, the name of the boat, so when you got back, that had a life of its own and success on its own. What was it like when you were going through this period of working on the boat? You start off by thinking, will this ever end? I don't think this project is ever going to be successfully completed. But then you actually see an end in sight. You see that all this work is paying off, and it won't be long. We'll be able to take this out to sea. What was that like when you realized all this work is going to pay off?
That was pretty amazing, too, because you have a routine of getting ready, getting the lunches made, packing everything in the car, going down to the boatyard, doing your work, you know, for 8 to 10 hours a day, doing it 5 or 6 days, 7 days a week for all those years. And then suddenly it's done. And there, in one way, there's this, oh my gosh, because you have to make another shift in yourself. And then I had to start researching sailing. I had to start taking sailing classes with the Coast Guard, how to do this and that, get my ham radio license. Then that's what you had to do. Learning to read charts, learning to use a sextant, all of these things. So my mind was completely occupied with trying to prepare myself for the next leg, which was going to be sailing this thing across an ocean. And then also outfitting a boat with enough food and first aid supplies and trying to figure out every case scenario you could think of so you had what you needed to survive. So my mind was very preoccupied and filled up with preparing myself adequately.
Once you take off on the adventure, you say the sea can be a terrifying, especially the wind, rain, and storms that romantic stories fail to mention. You're talking here, and everybody's probably thinking, well, this would be great. You hop on the boat, you have a couple of days, and you're where you want to be, and you've had this great, great little adventure going. There were harrowing times, weren't they? I mean, you'd heard at one point the two words you never want to hear in the ocean, and that's skipper overboard.
Yeah. And actually, he went overboard when I was off watch. So I was trying to sleep. And when I came back up on board, on deck, my son, he's like a little bit, he calls it like it is. Let's say it that way. He let it slip. And they'd already promised each other they weren't going to tell me because they knew I'd be really upset. But, of course, he couldn't keep it in. And he said, yeah, you should have seen him. He was just hanging there, you know. And I'm like, what? Anyways, yeah, that was a very serious thing. That was actually a very serious thing. Yeah.
The reviews are excellent. The book is Grit and Grace. Deborah, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me. I've enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you here and to share your story, Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul by Deborah Rudell. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.